KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, presents the Monday Morning Quarterback. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Souter, Aaron Harder, and Marcus Urkel.
Welcome to the Monday Morning Quarterback. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Good morning, Steve.
Aaron, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing okay. Yourself?
Good. Marcus, good to have you back.
Oh, what a week. What a week last Monday. What a week it was last Monday. State golf is it's a lot of work. It's a lot of fun. Man, it was... It was the best state golf we've ever had, best tournament we've ever had, and Mother Nature is the reason. It was perfect.
Best state golf tournament you've ever had. Best tournament was mine back in August, right?
Of course, okay. Best state golf tournament I've ever had.
I thought it was interesting. Blake Cripps, our fairly new voice of the Hornets and sports director here at KVOE, reporting on, I think, the 5A tournament where the Elise Eckert and what was the other girl's
Ella Fessler.
Yeah, where they both medaled. But after the first day, he said only two players were under par.
Only two.
I said, yeah. I said, you don't quite understand.
The girl that won 6A on Tuesday, on day two, had seven birdies and two bogeys and shot 5 under 66. And that was her total for the tournament. And the most amazing part of that, she did not have the most birdies on the day.
Oh, goodness.
Had another young lady with eight birdies. And six bogeys. her back nine, which was her first nine, was five birdies,
four bogeys,
three bogeys, and a par.
She got a par, so, mixed a par in there.
It was fun to watch. The Kinsley Jones girl that won it is just, I mean, it's embarrassing to say, but I am super jealous of a golf swing and a putting stroke of a 16-year-old girl, 17-year-old girl. She's a junior, so I'm not
really
sure.
You're jealous of a lot of putting strokes.
Well, that's a lot. There's a lot of truth to that, but man, she'd stand over putt and it's like you could just see like she knew it was going in, and she made it. It was fun though. So it was a great couple days. It is a lot of work, but it was fun. We had a good time.
David Spafford, Emporia State Athletic Director, is on his way. He'll join us a little later in the show. Don Weiss is here to help us with statistics and background and so forth. Good to see you, Weiss.
Hey, good to see you, always.
You guys had a busy weekend?
It was a little busy. Overall, it was a pretty good weekend. Just, you know, one game wasn't very good. So
yeah, we'll talk about that a little later. I do want to do something. Personal point of privilege here, and that is condolences out to the family of John Lewis. And John, I guess best known for being J.L. Lewis's dad, but for many of us, he was a great teacher back in middle school and coach and just all-around good guy. And he passed away 89 years old, and unfortunately his services are going on right now at the funeral home in Lebo. So John Lewis, condolences out to J.L. Of course, passed away a couple years ago. J.L.'s widow, Dawn, a couple kids, and then Beth Palladino, his daughter. So anyway, with that said, I want to talk baseball. And Marcus, you're a baseball alum. Where were you Friday night?
Friday day.
You're probably recovering from the tournament.
Well, we had a tournament. So Coach Hill brought back the golf tournament in full force. We had 24 teams out south at tee off at 10 o'clock. So it's been a long time since Coach kind of put their efforts into the golf tournament. So I got to see a lot of those guys there, which was cool. I did not play. I had to work. But talked to all the guys, had a bunch of guys back from Tucson, which was really neat. Actually ended up having three guys that went to my high school that I'd never met before because they were a little bit older. So had a good time there. Friday night I did not get to partake because I had to referee football. But I went Saturday night to joined them at the dinner and celebration with the older players and had a great time, had a lot of fun.
They had another dinner Saturday night?
They did, yeah, Saturday night.
While
the youngins were out doing their thing, the olders were doing this, and we had a lot of fun. It was awesome. I met some people I hadn't met before, heard some stories you get to hear, and It was a good weekend. And I don't want to. I would never say anything bad about Coach Wheeler because I really enjoyed Coach Wheeler. But it felt very much more Hornet, the Hornet way, that may have been gone for a few years. It really did. So it was fun. I had a good time.
There's no doubt. There's been a void in the Hornet tradition, and it wasn't Seth Wheeler's fault. It happened before him. But Brad Hill, Dave Bingham was back.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I was not going to go because those kind of events are not very good for me and my condition. But my son called me Friday afternoon and said he was picking me up at 6 o'clock, and I had no choice. And I'm so glad I went. I saw kids from back in the 80s, and it was unbelievable. Our whole family made a trip to Lewiston, Idaho with the team in 86 when they went in 87. Steve Inwood and I went and broadcast, and the Hornets played for the national championship. And a lot of those guys were there. A guy named Al Reese, who was third baseman, is a great hitter. He about beat me to death Friday night. David Spafford's going to join us here in just a second. He was there Friday night, maybe can ask it on the we were the new Casa Ramos, and it was absolutely elbow to elbow. How many people were there, David?
Well, there was 100 golfers, so there was probably more than that.
Yeah, we had over 150 to 170 alumni.
Yeah.
It was a heck of a turnout. Great turnout.
Unbelievable. If you're an Emporia State baseball fan, get ready because, of course, Coach Hill, I talked to him for a little bit Friday night, and I said, how's it going? He said, well, not as good as it should, but his expectations are pretty high, so. David Spafford, good morning. Glad you could join us.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. We saved the football game for you.
Yeah, I figured
you're welcome.
We're not going to spoil.
You're welcome.
You know, my take is I wasn't surprised that we got beat because it's the MIAA. We're on the road, and Central's been really good. A little surprised at how we lost.
Yeah, I think everybody's a little surprised how we lost. It's you know, you get up for those types of games and you get ready to go to battle. And, you know, unfortunately, we came out on the short end on that right now. The guys are going to sit down and we're going to regroup, get ready to go. You don't have a week off in the MIAA, and we got to get ready for Kearney.
Well, and it's how you respond, and we're pretty sure. I've talked to Garen a couple of times over the weekend, and he'll they'll have him ready when the home game finally again, and Kearney comes in, and we'll see some good Hornet football.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll get everything back together. I think Coach mentioned it on the radio on Saturday about this is a time when you got to kind of take a look inside and see where you're at, and got to get ready to go again. And we'll see what we're made out of, and in which way we're going to end up with the season. We got a lot of ball to play, and. We've got still got opportunities in front of us, and so we just got to lock in and get going. You got to take care of business on both sides of the ball, plus special teams, and kind of a rough day at the office on Saturday, no doubt about it. But hey, that's why you play. You got to strap it up. You got to get going again.
Well, and as Don Weese, who's with us as well, has already mentioned, but we'll let you elaborate on it. Other than the football team, it was a pretty darn good weekend for the Hornet sports.
Yeah, it was a pretty good weekend. Soccer did a great job Friday and Saturday. I went down to Edmond yesterday and got back last night, was able to watch them play. We're starting to come together pretty well right now. We're getting back into that winning column more and more. And, the things are starting to come together in regards to playing and where we need to be and getting our strategies down in regards to during the game. And I think that there's some good opportunities ahead of us. We have a chance to be able to host a MIAA tournament game here at home, which, we've had a rough time this year with our home field, trying to get it up to speed and up to where it is. It's hasn't been one of the better fields that I've worked with over the years, and so we wanted to take extra care. Unfortunately, it took a little bit longer for us to get it to where it is right now, and I've still got a lot more work to do on it, but should be in pretty good shape to, host as long as we take care of our business on the soccer side. And then when you look at women's volleyball, that's been pretty exciting to watch where Coach is at right now and getting things done. We've got about 19 girls now on the roster, And they've been, you know, in practice, they're showing a lot of different things and a lot of opportunities to be able to excel during the games. Now we have to translate that from what we're doing in practice into the games. And I think when you talk to coach, there's just some little odds and ends throughout the game that if we would do what we're doing in practice and take care of that, some of these close games like what we've had, it'd be a different story. So now that we're in the second half of the season, it gives us a chance to be able to get better, learn from where we were, and continue to elevate the game in order to put ourselves in that position to, you know, make it back to the MIAA tournament and take a look at where we shake out at that point.
How many games do they have left, or matches do they have left before the tournament starts?
I believe it's 7.
Wow, so
there's still a few left here, yeah.
But really happy with where they're at so far.
Amazing where they're at, yeah.
Yeah, I am. I mean, when I look at and compare to where we were last year, you know, we've made tremendous strides all the way across the board in all parts of the game. The type of quality of play that we're starting to see out of our players and the level of play that we're seeing out of our players has really been phenomenal. Now, we have to continue to go through that journey, and we've got to continue to build each week, build each match, put ourselves in that position to be successful and to be able to learn and watch, you know, what the other team's giving you and what they aren't giving you, getting our matchups right and, you know, getting our back line correct and all those different types of things that roll into that. You know, everybody's still learning everybody, and they're still learning what they do in those situations. So when it becomes second nature even more and more than where it is right now, that's when you start seeing that success kicking in more in that process as we work through that and getting that done. So it's been a lot of fun.
You mentioned 19 kids on the roster. How important is that?
It's been really good in regards to our overall competition and practice and being able to take a look at, you know, how we measure out the types of recruits that we've been able to bring in at this point in time. It's really giving us all a chance to compete at a higher level than we have in the past. And that provides good things for us as we get ready to go in the MIAA. You know, it's one of the toughest conferences in the country in volleyball for sure, when you look at 4 or 5 at least in the top 25 in the country. And, you know, nationally, we're very well known nationally to be a very strong conference. When you look at Kearney and, you know, what they've been able to do over the years, and you look at Northwest and you look at other schools that, you know, Washburn, you know, we see that and see where they're at and how we are. I was fortunate to be at Regis where we were a top 25 program year in and year out. So looking at the types of kids that we're bringing in now and the recruits that we're looking at right now, I'm starting to see some similarities in there to be able to start competing in that upper echelon of the conference over the next few years.
In fact, there's one kid here, Sandra Sasaki. I mean, you go to a match, she hits the ball and it sounds different than anybody we've had here since probably Brittany Miller or Eric Shepard. I mean, it's a different type of level, the way she swings at it and does things. It's exciting. She had 32 kills the other night.
How did we get her? Do you know the story?
Coach Mursek's he's a recruiting machine for one thing. She's a junior college transfer and came in there, and he's just got contacts and was able to get her in here. So
portal kid.
Junior college transfer.
From Florida? Is that what you said?
From Utah.
She's from Utah. Yeah. Yeah, junior college transfer. Could have been. She'd probably be a Division I volleyball player with just her arm, but there's some other parts of the game that just don't translate quite as well, the back row play, stuff like that they're working on. But she's really good. You got to go see her, and you got to watch her, and you just got to listen to her. Just listen to her hit the ball. It's special.
You can tell. I've been at White while they're practicing, and – You don't have to be looking at the court. You can just tell when she hits the ball.
Yep.
That's the way it used to be with me in baseball. You can tell when I swung and went.
a loud whoosh.
Well, Cross country had some individual good results.
Yeah, we did. We got number 4 on the men's side, and that's one of our best finishes that we've had in quite a few years. And,
like 20 years, wasn't
25,
it?
Yeah.
Yep. That's pretty good. So, we know, I think Coach D'Ambrosio is doing a good job getting that into play. We're working on their scholarship equivalencies and being able to assist them with adding more scholarship opportunities for our cross-country team. to continue to build that program and build that depth that we need in order to be able to compete and get back to where we used to be. I know the women's side, you know, we've done really, really well over the years. We had our cross country Hall of Fame about a month or so ago, and it's, you know, the banners that are up in the championships, it's just, you know, it's phenomenal. We've got to continue to recreate and get back into that mode again on that level too with our cross country program.
All right, we're visiting with David Spafford, the athletic director at Emporia State. Also, Don Weiss, who is assistant athletic director for media relations and a lot of other things. We'll come back to you guys in a little bit and talk a little bit about facilities and getting ready for national track meet and all that kind of good stuff. It's a good day to be a Hornet as we're in the middle of the National League or the Major League Baseball playoffs and big Game 7 tonight in Texas for the Texas title. And if you're a baseball fan, that's worth spending time watching. Game 6 of the Phillies and the Diamondbacks today as well. So the World Series starts on Friday.
I know that I'm going to go back real quick to the Hornets. I know it was a bad game, but maybe Weiss can talk about this. And Aaron was there too. Can we shout out to Ross Brungardt, though? I mean, his numbers were unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's nice to have the best punter in the nation on our team, but I know that didn't help Saturday. But
No. I mean, that's part of that. You got to give credit to Central Missouri because he had 9 punts, and I think 7 of them they started inside their own 30-yard line. I mean, he had 9 punts. 5 of them went over 50 yards. He had a 61-yarder that got downed at the 4. I mean, he is amazing. His hang time
was both
there.
Ways, with the wind and against the
didn't
wind.
Didn't matter whether he was going with or against anything. He lit it up as a punter, and it was just something special. I was up in the press box, and on one of those, you just heard everybody in the press box was just like, wow.
Yeah.
He's pretty special. He's a great guy.
I was with his dad, and he's like, we need some more 50s because we got to get that average right around 50. I was like, he's doing a good job. Unfortunately, Central Missouri has an offense.
Yeah. But he did fantastic on it. And again, you just got to be able to tip your hat sometimes. I mean, because what that guy did, what Zimbrowski did, was special too, unfortunately.
All right, we're going to get a break in. This is the Monday Morning Quarterback. Bruce Davis Construction is our sponsor. You're listening to KVOE. We are live and local.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001. Turn down your TV volume and crank up Country 101.7 to play Watch the Chiefs. Listen for the 2 Kansas City Chiefs mystery players each game and then tune in the following morning for your chance to win. It's Watch the Chiefs on Country 101.7 FM.
KVOE live and local, and time now for a look at headlines being brought to you by JanU Tech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. With the experience to get the job done in today's real estate market. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the latest local headlines, here is Chuck Samples.
Good morning, everybody. Advance voting by mail has been underway for a few days now. In-person advance voting now underway at the Lyon County Courthouse today through noon November 6th. Details at KVOE.com. With veteran suicide still a major concern among military circles, the Veterans Affairs Eastern Kansas Division says it is ready to help with services and also what's called the Compact Act, which lets veterans go to any emergency room, say they are considering suicide, and receive emergency care. And USD 253 Emporia has 3 major topics highlighting its upcoming meeting Wednesday, including enrollment, safety and security updates, and the future of the former Kansas Avenue School building. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team, sunny and warm today, 85 for the high, windy as well. Showers likely early tomorrow morning before sunrise with a low of 64. More showers likely, maybe a thunderstorm as well, and 70. And then Wednesday, look for a decent chance of rainfall and a high of 75. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. Currently a gusty south breeze, mostly sunny skies, 70 degrees,
at KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. All the information you need, live and local. Headlines are brought to you this hour by Jan Utech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. For buying or selling a home or property, contact Jan at 620-343-5100.
All right, welcome back to the Monday Morning Quarterback. Steve Souter, Marcus Urkel, Aaron Harder, Don Weiss, David Spafford. We got a lot of people in here today.
Full boat.
They David, got me all confused, too.
David, do you have time to be a sports fan other than Hornet sports?
You know, I was listening to y'all earlier this morning, and you were talking about different sports, different schools out there, and kind of where they're ranking out at. And I got to thinking, I was like, man, I didn't realize all that was going on, so... Obviously, right now, I haven't had a chance to really take a look at too many other schools and what's going on. I've been pretty focused on everything we're doing here. And, we're in October, so that, you know, my tunnel vision's pretty narrow when I put on those blinders. It's pretty much just ESU, what's coming up next, and what we got to get taken care of.
You got a basketball game in like 10 days.
Yeah, we do. We do a little bit. We got some basketball season tickets going on sale today, finally. And so I hope our fans, I know they've been calling and wanting to know where we're at. We've been a little short staff-wise on that external side, getting those positions filled here right now. And so we'll have that going out. The season tickets renewals will go out today. I think Don's over here typing along on the press release to get that done. We ticket prices will remain the same, but when you do the math on it, you know, we're a good 30-some percent. It's 30-some percent savings if you buy a season ticket when you look at the single game ticket. So I think that's important to let our fans know out there. We're trying to maintain our cost right now. Over time, we did a increase last year, and I usually like to have a little breaks in between increases with different sports, and so we'll evaluate as we keep going in the next years to come on that. But I think we got a great product right now, men's basketball. You know, we got what, four or five guys coming back that were part of that team last year that went to the NCAA in the second round. Women's basketball, a lot of excitement. Coach O coming in, you know, those girls are doing a really good job. They're coming together, they're getting their team chemistry down. It'll be fun to watch as they get rolling along and watching those threes pop up. You got to watch them in practice. If you get a chance, pop into practice and take a look. And they're doing really, really well. So are the guys. And so we got a lot of good things ahead of us as we get ready to go.
Practices at the Hyper?
Hyper, correct. Well, we're doing both now. And we're just rolling into that. As soon as the state volleyball tournament's done, you know, we'll definitely be up there a little bit more and getting that taken care of there up at White. But we're still doing a little bit of both right now.
Gym C's in great shape. And if you haven't walked the hallway down there, the hallway is pretty impressive as well.
Yeah, they've done a nice job. You know, everybody's done a great job of helping showcase our excellence, especially in women's basketball, and putting that out there. And as you walk down that hall, I mean, you just start, the goosebumps start kicking in. It kind of reminds me when, you know, being in Ahern Fieldhouse back in the days and over at Allen Fieldhouse and then down at Wichita State, you start seeing the history. And that's a pretty big thing. I know Trey and I have talked about up at the city of, you know, how do we capture not only Emporia State's traditions up there at White Auditorium, but how do we also look at incorporating Lyon County and all the history that we have here in the county and the region to put there at White? Because there's just so much history that has happened over the last, well, since the 30s. You know, when we built the facility, 41. And so there's just, you know, we're always all looking at ways to celebrate our histories all the way across the board. It'd be pretty exciting to see how we do that.
So if you're a Lady Hornet fan and have been for a while and you want to go, I mean, it's like a museum. It's a wall, but it's got a lot of history in there. And that is pretty much open access, isn't it, during business hours?
That's correct. We're all open 8 to 5 or 8 to 6, whatever the doors are open. And, feel free to stop in and say hello.
It's on the lower floor.
It's on the lower floor. So when you get off, if you go down the stairs, hang a right, and you'll see it right when you look at the right. And then it extends quite a ways down, all the way to down to where the beginning of the gym opens.
David, you mentioned staff. Where are you on being completely hired up?
We are... externally, we've got two spots open, just offered last night. They accepted on the senior associate role. They'll get started around the 13th or so of November, so we'll get that position moving along. That'll be on our senior staff, and then there's a assistant director of marketing and media relations. That individual had stepped down and went back to Texas, and so we'll get that position rehired here now that we have a role in place on that senior level. I know Don's excited because Don's been back to you know him and Cole, and we've got to get him more help over here, obviously, to get that done. But I think that gives us a chance to continue to shape that a little bit, maybe between the media relations, also look at some sales aspect, promotional aspect that we can have that position do too, to take care of some things we need to take care of.
As we visit with Athletic Director David Spafford at Emporia State, and let's just keep going with you. We'll, for those people listening want to hear us talk about the Chiefs and K-State and stuff like that, we'll do that in our final segment. Let's talk about facilities. You got a national track meet coming up in June, and I know you've been doing quite a bit of concrete work because I was waiting on the concrete company. So tell us a little bit, give us a thumbnail of everything that's been happening with facilities, particularly getting ready for the track meet.
I think, when we look at the track meet, everything's moving right along. We had the NCAA in last week, I think it was. Yeah. I remember the weeks or two weeks ago. And everything, we're right on schedule with what we need to get accomplished, what we're doing there. Working through just the laundry list of what you have to get ready to go to host a national track meet. Very, excited to be able to work with the NCAA again. I've worked with Denisha Carter at other schools, and she does a terrific job in regards to being the main contact with the NCAA to host. As we look at where we are right now, literally the semi is showing up in the next day and a half with the new lights for Welch. And so, again, I'd like to thank the city for their assist with some of this to be able to do that and have that in place to get that going. And as you look at everything else, the new jumps areas are pretty well done. We got to put new sand in those, which we will do in January. There's a reason for that is as we get ready, we're going to resurface the overall track and get that ready to get that done. That's going to have to happen the end of February to the first week or two of March. And so we've got football, spring ball. We were able to kind of get it started just a couple of days a little bit later than we normally do to help give us a window of time to be able to pull that off. Spring game, we don't have it announced it yet, but it'll be April 20th on that Saturday. So, we're all working together as a staff to be able to kind of get ready for this track meet and get that going. The new throws areas, we've got new concrete, both shot put rings right now. So we'll use those. Those are in the stadium itself. Got a few more tweaks to get those ready to go for national competition. And then we've also put in new concrete in our old discus ring that's closer to the Hyper building outside. And then when you go down a new runway for Javelin, and then we're moving out to that by the highway where we've got the discus and the hammer throw that we're putting out there with brand new concrete out there. We've actually had to move all the rings back about 2, 3, 4 meters. When you look at where the athletes are and what they're throwing, it's a little further than it was we did 30 years ago. And so we wanted to make sure we had enough room in those particular sectors of throwing sectors that we had the right amount of room after watching what happened at Pueblo last year. They had little challenges on some of that in the Javelin. And so we've got that moving along, too. We added the platform a lot bigger. It's about $17,000 more in concrete. But it'll give us a better opportunity to be able to operate and to be able to host the event out there and get that done. We're going to have an area for fans to be able to sit. We're putting additional concrete out there to put stands out there for them, too, to be able to help out. And we'll be able to use all this, from here on out, too. So I think when you look at where we are, we're right on target in regards to what we need to have in the preparation to get ready for the national track meet. So next, we got to start working towards getting volunteers in place. We've got to continue to talk to the city and get some things taken care of there. We got to continue to talk to our Chamber of Commerce's in order to get them prepared for all the 1,000 student athletes and coaches that are coming to town and also here within the region. And so there's a lot of good things that are getting ready to come down the pike as we get ready to go with that aspect of it.
So I assume a lot of that work's ongoing. It's not just starting. Like I know I heard a discussion of B&Bs or Airbnbs. You're hoping for a lot of that. And, of course, we're pretty good at it already with the bike race and the disc golf. Is that an opportunity for people?
that is an opportunity for people if they have interest in doing that. You know, we'll have those available there at that last weekend of
May.
Thank you. And then, you know, the great thing about it is you can look at it this way. You know, we've got the national track meet the weekend before the gravel. So, you know, you can really, you know, you can rent your place out for a couple weekends there and do pretty well. And then you can turn around at the end of June, and with the Kansas Shrine Bowl coming to town that we'll be hosting also at Welch Auditorium. Not Welch, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Welch Stadium.
Yeah, Welch Stadium. Yeah, and be able to have that available too. So there's good opportunities for our city to be able to showcase our city and our region with a lot of different activities that are coming down.
And there's a Dynamic Discs Open and a Masters World Championship Disc Golf sprinkled in there too. That'll be a busy five-week run.
Yeah. It really will be. It'll be really exciting.
What about in the stadium for fans? Any improvements to the seating and bathrooms and stuff like that?
Right now we will be putting in all new seats on the west side. And we're working with the company right now. We're going to widen out the rows a little bit so we can put handrails down so you have something to grab onto as you go to your seats. So we'll have that in there. We'll do a mixture of chair backs and similar areas to where we are today. And then with our bench seating, moving out from outside of that.
So that'll all be new before the track meet?
That'll all be new hopefully by February at the latest. Correct.
What about White Auditorium, just while we're talking about it? Did we get handrails at White Auditorium yet?
I don't use them. I'd have to actually be there and look. I don't know yet, Steve.
I don't want to use them.
They're not there yet, but.
No, they're not there. Trey and I have had some really good conversations on that right now.
Well, I know they've been talking about it.
About getting it in there. So we're good with it. You know, if the city's willing to put in those handrails, let's get that done. And I think that'll help not only our fans, but all of our community, too. As you have all these different activities down at White, it would be really beneficial for all of the fans that go to watch those games to have those. So we're pro getting that done. If you know, it's, I've always told Trey, you need any help from us, you just let us know, and we'll find a way to help you.
And what about basketball? I mean, we're getting ready to get to winter. We're like 10 days. What is it, November 1st?
November 1, yeah.
We play at K-State. The men do, and then they go to Florida right after that?
That's correct.
And when do the ladies tip off, Don?
That'll be the next weekend, the 10th and 11th, when we have that gigantic eight teams are going to come in, four men, four women, to play in the MIAA GAC Challenge, November 10th and 11th.
So that'll be at White.
That'll be at White Auditorium, yep.
Back in the old days of
the JC Classic and the the Greg Ray Classic.
Break Steve Inwood out of retirement.
We might need him for some PA. I don't know. Some of those early games, we might need him. So
there's some good history there. As we talk with the people from Emporia State. Let's get a break in. We come back, we'll talk about big win for K-State, big win for the Chiefs. I think they're peaking too early now.
I don't think they played that good.
Ooh, that ought to be interesting. That was Marcus Urkel.
Just get a W. That's all you need to do.
All you need.
I thought they got a W pretty easily. All right, this is the Monday Morning Quarterback. You're listening to KVOE. We're live and local.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Be a part of the 20th annual Freedom Fest on November 4th at Soden's Grove Park. Run, walk, or ride to support the All Veterans Memorial and Regional Scholarships. KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live, proud to support Freedom Fest and local.
KVOE live and local, and time now for a look at sports headlines from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, and a look at all the sports you need. Here is Blake Cripps.
Well, after 35 second quarter points, you may have thought we were headed for a shootout in the Chargers and Chiefs game, but there were only 7 points in the second half, and Kansas City scored them on the way to a 31-17 victory over the Chargers. Chiefs now have a stranglehold on the AFC West. Four more touchdown passes for Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce with another incredible game, 12 catches, 179 yards, and one touchdown. Chiefs Kingdom Show tonight, 6 o'clock on Country 101.7. Emporia State Soccer winning a 2-1 decision over Central Oklahoma in Edmond on Sunday. All three goals came in the second half. 10 seconds after the Broncos broke the scoreless tie, Hannah Woolery knotted up the match, and then Haley Sparks broke the tie to give the Lady Hornets a lead. UCO did not have a shot in the final 10 minutes. Emporia State continuing to wrap up its season on the road. 4-game road trip with two more left to play. They head out to Nebraska Kearney on Friday for a 2 o'clock kickoff. Tons of action over the weekend for the Hornets and the Spartans. Lady Hornet volleyball losing in 5 to Central Missouri. Emporia State football losing 77-27 to Central Missouri on Saturday. The Emporia High volleyball team's season came to an end in straight sets. They lost to Bishop Carroll in Substate. Two members of the Emporia High cross-country teams headed for state. Madison Evans for the Lady Spartans, Dagan True for the boys headed to state after their placements at regionals. And it's the 49ers at the Vikings tonight on Monday Night Football. 7:15 kickoff on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. That's sports. From the KVOE Sports Desk, I'm Blake Cripps.
Thank you, Blake. And for all the latest sports news, information, and our on-air schedule, make sure you check out our sports page that's online at kvoe.com.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of Monday Morning Quarterback is we've been visiting with David Spafford, athletic director at Emporia State. We'll continue to visit with him if he wants to participate as we talk a little bit of, I think we should talk Chiefs. Marcus says they didn't play that well. They win, 31-17. Sixth or seventh game in a row they held teams under 20.
Every
points.
Game this season.
Every game?
Under 21.
So, Marcus, floor is yours.
Yeah, I didn't mean it to sound derogatory. The defense is playing just spectacular, and I think that as even though they scored 31 points, I still just don't think the offense is where they can be. I mean, they're obviously extremely reliant on Kelce still and the rest of the receiving core. They seem to be getting better, but they're going to get better. That's the great thing about Andy Reid's football is that they always get better later in the season, and I still think they're there. And so to say they didn't play well is probably not a fair thing. It's not really what I meant. Obviously, Mahomes' numbers were great, but I think that If the defense wasn't playing so well, that's one of those games that Herbert, and the Chargers keep coming back on. And I don't feel like the Chiefs are at the point where they can just continue to match score for score. Now, the nice thing is they're not having to because the defense is playing so good. So I just don't think their offense is quite where it's going to be at the end of the season, which is a good thing. I don't think they're peaking by any stretch of the imagination. I think 6-1, 5-1, 6-1. What are they?
6-1.
I think 6-1 is, and actually Kelce said this in one of his podcasts a couple weeks ago, they're not playing well enough to feel confident about their game. They're going into their meetings today, their film, and they're still mad about things. They're still finding things they need to work on,
which is fantastic.
But they're winning games to do it, which is fantastic because, it feels like some of these games they're winning, it's like they didn't play good, they're winning.
But they've been doing that for 3 years.
To an extent, that's kind of true. But this year, it feels even more than usual. At least on the offensive side of the ball, they're not over there thinking they're the great. Like they're not the Dolphins thinking they're the greatest thing ever, and they're just going to run up scores on everybody. So that's going to keep them working, which is a good thing as a fan because you want them to continue to get better, and they will.
You got a thought, Aaron?
I thought they played good. They're just in the perfect scenario, and they're so fortunate to have Mahomes. You can just go out there and do enough to win a game. You don't have to beat a team 50-14. You can just keep going out and getting wins. We're never in doubt when he has the ball in his hands. He's gonna do what's needed to win a football game or put his team in a good position. And I think it's fantastic. The defense is just playing phenomenal. And they come hungry every week still, which is really hard to do with the success they've had in the last 5 years. But
getting number 90 back didn't hurt.
Number 90 back didn't hurt at all. He played
good.
Awesome.
And, with all that said, too, I think one of the reasons I was thinking that they didn't play as well, The Chargers are terrible at defense. I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea how you have a guy who, like Brandon Staley, who hangs his hat on being a genius defensively, can be so bad at what they're doing on defense. And one of the prime examples, it was 3rd and 15, and they're playing like they're going to throw a Hail Mary. Did you see that? I mean, they had four guys on the line, and then they had the rest of the defensive backfield was at the first down marker. In the middle of the third quarter, and Mahomes just drops back, and I don't claim to be Romo by any means, but I'm sitting there thinking, Mahomes is just going to run this. Like, they're going to drop back.
How did they let that happen?
And that's exactly what he did. It was the easiest first down run of ever. So I don't understand how the Chargers are so bad. And so I still think that when they start getting to the Eagles, when they start getting to the Bengals, and even the Dolphins to an extent, that they're going to have to continue to score. And they're not the same scoring machine they were the last few years, but they'll get there. They will get there, which I think they can be.
He's throwing it to 10 guys a game still.
Yeah. It's pretty bad when I'm sitting here and Mahomes is 28 for 38 for 400 and some odd yards, and I'm saying he could still be better. So he's simply amazing, and he's the most – actually, Greeny said today on Get Up, and this I was shocked. He said, because I've been watching football for 50 years, he's the greatest player to ever play that position. And I agree with him. Just eye test. Numbers don't matter.
And he's laughing at the opposition.
What do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean? Numbers don't matter. They do matter. Fantastic.
Obviously, he's got to catch Brady. He's got to catch.
He just needs longevity in terms of numbers.
Pretty good job for number 74 on the offensive line. He had the job of blocking. Is it Khalil Mack? Is that his name?
Didn't hear his name once.
I didn't hear his name until after the game.
Yep.
I mean,
didn't hear him once.
I saw him shaking hands with somebody and read his name off the back of his jersey.
Their offensive line is probably not getting as much credit as they should because their defense is playing so good. Their offensive line is just phenomenal. I mean, you take the greatest quarterback of all time and then you give him 5 seconds to throw, he's going to do damage.
The bad news, Nick Bolton with a dislocated wrist, which is probably worse than being broken. So he'll be out. And, of course, they played three games without him, and they played pretty well. But, anyway, Chiefs go to Denver. That's a real trap game.
Denver is
playing better, and they go to Germany for Miami. There's no way they can't be thinking ahead to that game. And,
thinking,
of course, the Dolphins got spanked last night by the Eagles.
Yeah.
And
Dolphins are an interesting team because they are. If I was watching that get up this morning, they're – the teams they've beat are 5-32 on the season or something like that, or 8-32.
Yeah, they were 5-24 going into yesterday.
So they have the two teams they've played that are good that they've gotten beat relatively handily. So they're going to be interesting to see how good they really are. Obviously, they're so fast, but the Eagles
Waddle
did a really
got
good
hurt
job.
He barely played last night, and that really affected Miami as well. But so stay tuned. It's the NFL.
Any given Sunday.
What a night for K-State. Who'd have thunk that game was going to be, 41-3?
41-3. A whooping.
Yeah, it was worth turning off at half. They were beating them so bad.
Yeah, we got 10 minutes left. What do you want to talk about?
The
rest of the NFL? We talk about the soccer team. We just mentioned two wins.
Well, McKenzie DeMarco, did she score all six goals?
No, she only scored four of them all on Friday.
We had two other people score yesterday.
Who were they? Do we know?
Hannah Woolery and Haley Sparks. So Hannah's another All-American that we've got, and then Haley Sparks has been a forward that's just kind of overshadowed by, the greatest goal
She's coming
scorer.
On, though. She's playing really well.
Yeah, but you kind of get overshadowed by the greatest goal scorer in MIAA history.
And four goals in a game is called what?
It is a haul.
H-A-U-L.
H-A-U-L.
A haul.
A haul.
Hat trick is three. A haul is four.
There you go. See?
Glut is five.
What is five?
A glut.
Glut.
Then they get boring and go to double hat trick on six. So.
Well, I'm glad that McKenzie DeMarco allowed us to learn something new today.
We're soccer this week.
We are on the road.
At Kearney.
On Friday night. And then we go to Topeka and play Washburn on Sunday. And that will be a big one for regional rankings and implications and all of that. So.
It's an easy drive if you're a Hornet soccer
what time?
Supporter.
From Kearney to which? From Kearney to Topeka?
Yeah. No. From Emporia to Topeka on Sunday.
1 o'clock?
You don't want to go to Kearney.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to go to Kearney on Friday. You might not be back for the homecoming game.
Yeah.
Strong possibility.
The other shocker in the NFL yesterday was the Lions going down big to
the Ravens.
The story of that game was the Ravens played great.
Yeah, it was.
The Ravens looked fantastic.
Your quarterback scored four times, right?
Not enough to win.
Oh.
That was an interesting game to me because I don't, you know, going in, I thought it was obviously the best matchup of the weekend. Eagles,
sure.
Miami, kind of whatever. But I don't know that coming out of it, I don't know that I care. I don't know that, you know, Detroit's loss, they're still Detroit. They're way better, but they've also been on the road three or four games. I don't know if I want to think that they played really bad or if I think the Ravens, maybe Ravens are figuring out and are playing really good. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't know that the loss matters too much to the Lions, but I think it probably matters more to the Ravens to win that game big and for Lamar to kind of – he's really good. And I think sometimes we forget that. So hopefully that – if you're a Ravens fan, I guess, hopefully that will help propel them. But at the end of the day, I think both teams are still – the same teams. I think the Lions are going to be just fine. And I don't think the Ravens are going to go be world beaters either. I think they're still going to kind of be that up and down team they are.
There's a pretty good correlation to the Lions and Emporia State. I mean, just having an off day and
getting
the snot kicked out. If the Lions coach said, you know, it's going to happen sometime, you just hope it doesn't happen to you.
Yeah.
So
it's better to happen in week 7 than in the playoffs, right? I mean, and if you're the Lions, I think that's what you're telling yourself. You just had one of those days, and then you just go to work. And they're such a fun team. I really want
to
root for them.
How much money could you have made on a parlay if you'd have bet the Ravens, the Giants, and New England all win?
Considering the fact that I got knocked out of several of my survivors because of the Giants and the Patriots, probably a lot.
Should have taken Seattle.
I did take Seattle in one of them, luckily. Yeah, I don't know. The New England game to me was the one that was probably the shocking game of the weekend to me.
I agree with you because we all think Buffalo is a top three team in the AFC West, and they just a couple weeks ago handed it to Miami, and then they just go lay an absolute egg. And
to a team that's playing really awful with a quarterback.
To a team
that
you thought might be battling with Denver to get the first pick.
I mean, we're talking about – I guess I haven't been here for 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago we were talking about is Belichick on the hot seat. And, you know, he's got a quarterback that he doesn't trust. He's got a quarterback that I don't think anybody in New England really likes. And then they go out.
They still
and beat,
do.
And then they go out and
even
beat
after that.
Yeah,
one.
I agree with you. I still don't think they like him. But then they go out and beat Buffalo, and you're just sitting there. Not only that, but he drives him down in what was it, 58 seconds or something like that for a touchdown instead of a field goal to tie. And I'm sitting there like, what are we doing if you're Buffalo? So that to me was the most surprising game of the weekend, and one that I don't know. I don't know what Buffalo is still to this day. I don't have a clue what they are.
I think which makes the Chiefs that much more impressive that. You can go out and not have a great day or not have your A game and just keep winning games.
Well, the Chiefs-Miami in 2 weeks is probably for the number one seed.
Yeah, because the Chiefs are the number one seed today, as of today. So, obviously, that's going to be a heads-up situation. You know, Miami, and I think I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'll continue to say it. It doesn't matter how good Miami is until the snow starts to fall because – you know, when they're out,
saw some of that yesterday
a bunch of
with
heat,
weather, with
a bunch
the,
of
with
hot,
the wind blowing.
Yeah, with a bunch of fast guys out there that love the Miami sun, it's easy to play well. But you go to New England in December, or I don't think they have to go to Buffalo.
Or Germany in November.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be when you see how good they really are, I think. And we'll find out. I have my doubts, but we'll find out. The Eagles played them great.
How good's Tyreek Hill?
He's still pretty fast.
He dropped a pass last night that was pretty big in that game.
Yeah.
You see the one that he kicked through the end?
I think he's the third best receiver I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's good.
He does make Tua look good.
My wife asked me, we were watching a little bit of that, and she said, has he cleaned up his act? I guess he has to some extent.
I hope so. I don't know. We haven't heard about him, so.
He stayed out of it for a long time.
I mean, yeah, he hasn't really done
Chiefs gave him a second chance, and good for him for
taking advantage of it. The big negative act he stayed out of. He still runs his mouth a lot, and which is fine. That's what when you're that type of athlete, you're going to be cocky. But in terms of the legal side, he's definitely cleaned himself up, and that's good.
Josh Allen can continue to get beat if he keeps scoring points. He scored 14 fantasy points last night.
It's the trouble with sports now. As a guy who works stats for a living, that's the trouble with sports now. You don't care about anything but what the stats are.
Well, I don't know about anything.
I mean, I would. The players don't.
Yes, I like them.
Yeah, the players don't think that way.
It takes all the fun. It takes all the fun out of it.
And I said it in relationship to overall.
Right.
I don't care if Buffalo loses.
There's so many people though. It's like, you know, hey, what about so and so in my fantasy points? I'm like, yeah, but what'd the team do? I'm old. I'll get off my soapbox now for you.
None of those people would like the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are somehow 4-2.
Exactly.
I heard today they
might win 11 or 12 games and have a negative scoring differential.
They have not outscored a single opponent in 6 games, and they're 4-2. They're yardage-wise, they've been below all the teams they've played, which is pretty amazing. Speaking of the Steelers, though, if you have watched highlights, how does T.J. Watt get an interception? Did you see his interception? He's out there playing free safety.
It was a tip, though, wasn't it?
No, not on that one.
No.
Not on that one. He dropped back 15 yards and stole it right out of Cooper Kupp hands. Cooper Kupp, he thought he caught it and was running, and all of a sudden it wasn't there. That's a pretty amazing play.
Did you see the Kyle Pitts catch?
I didn't see Kyle's Pitts catch.
One hand behind his back?
No.
But you need to watch it.
I did have a point yesterday when I was watching. I don't remember which game I was watching. And I had this thought that receivers have gotten so much better in today's football than they were 20, 30 years ago. The catches we see week in and week out are simply amazing. And it used to be you had a couple guys that maybe made those catches, you know, Jerry Rice's. The Michael Irvins maybe, but then the rest of you'd see a lot of stone hands still. These guys are making catches that are just, I mean, 30 years ago would have been the most amazing highlight ever. Now it's just like it's a Sunday.
OBJ makes a one-handed catch, and oh my gosh, can you believe that? And now it happens once a game.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't seen the Kyle Pitts one, watch the Kyle Pitts one. But it's all the gloves. Even Tegan Trahoon can catch five passes in a row. It's the gloves.
Boy, talk about getting thrown under the bus.
Yeah, Tegan, no gloves next year. If you're standing outside, Tegan, no gloves next year.
David Spafford, final question for you. What about the MIAA? Are they standing still? Going to add some teams? What's going on there?
We're constantly in a state of evaluation, and how about that for a politically correct answer? we've had quite a few conversations. We're evaluating a lot of different things. I think in the long run, I know we'd probably like to add a couple more. The question is, what does that look like? Timing of that, you know, there's a lot of scheduling issues and different things that you have to kind of evaluate and take a look at it, what that's going to do to us and put that in there. We've got different things that we're evaluating, taking a look at some different stuff that way, and how do you put that schedule together if we go down that path and get there. It's no different than other conferences I've been in. I mean, it reminds me a lot of when we were with back at K-State in the 90s, when we went from the Big 8 to the Big 12, and, you know, going through all those different types of conversations of how do you set things up if we go to a larger format and you want to go to divisions or not. And how does that look? How does that look with your teams that your rivalry games are with? And are you able to play those games and keep all that going? So there's a lot of things that we're looking at and looking for like-minded universities that are fit the footprint and fit the bill of what we are here in the MIAA as a, you know, mainly, you know, the regional schools in each region to be able to support our states and the educational needs of those folks in that part of the regions too, as we look at it. So yeah, we're constantly looking at one thing about Mike Racy. He's always wanting to be on that cutting edge and be able to be out there and get things done. And we need to. Yeah, you know, we're not going to be the commissioner. He's our commissioner.
Right? I think you ought to just be like the Big 12. Go get a team from Maine. Go get a team from Alaska. Call it good.
Do you ever see a football only conference?
Not in Division 2. Not anymore. There's days you wonder about that in Division One if that may happen. Could. But I'd be surprised right now in Division Two if we would go down that path at this point in time, looking at the economics. Number one. Number two, you also got to look at, we're getting ready to hit that enrollment cliff that we've been talking about for I don't know how many years now, and the shrinking enrollment just in general. There's just not as many kids as there used to be in regards to going to school. So, we have to evaluate, keep this in mind as we're approaching these decisions and how we're going to come together and what that impact's going to have, especially on our regional schools.
Are there less athletes going to school, though? Is the athlete count still pretty steady?
I think our athlete count's been pretty steady along the way. I think most schools have been. We haven't seen a decline there. And again, I think, when we look at our master plan, that opens up the opportunity for athletics to take a part in this. And that's one thing President Hush and I were going through and talking about is, okay, if we add certain sports, and we're actually going through the process right now, is we add certain sports, what does that look like? What does that makeup like? How does it fit Emporia State? And then what are the economics to it? What's our net revenue return on the dollar by that investment to come back to the university, and what kind of an impact does that have? So we're actually doing that now as we also roll into with the facility master plan that we should have more information on Wednesday this week. As we look at that, we're also doing a Title IX review. So that way we can hit all the different marks we need to have right now as we move forward, we can have the right type of information to make good decisions in regards to what does our sport offering look like, how does that impact our enrollment here at Emporia State, can we add another 100 student athletes to be able to hit our marks there so we can get by 2025 the right mix of overall students coming to this campus and coming to our school that way. So there's some things there that we're also looking at. And then, as you brought up the scheduling issue with the conference, again, you got some of these sports may not be MIAA sports. And so, again, we have to take a look at some of that right now, what the conference offers, what it doesn't offer, and how does that fit, and then looking at putting a schedule for them together right now.
I like it, David. You answered a question we didn't ask.
I have it on my notes. I wanted to make sure I said that.
I got one more before we go, Steve.
Well, let me tell you the question, though, which was he answered the question, are they looking at adding sports? And evidently they are, so that's good to know. Now, Aaron, go ahead.
Have you seen a large effect of NIL in Division II sports?
There's some. Not a lot. Nothing like what you see on the Division I. And really, when you talk about Division I, it's mainly in that Power 5 group. And then it starts to, shrink as it goes a little bit. I think that's something that is here. I think, last week we actually had two student-athletes come to us with NIL opportunities. And, again, in the overall plan, strategic plan for the department would be to add an NIL program and have a cooperative in place once we get that done. I think I've mentioned before, I'm a little nervous by going too far down that path until we get some of the major facility things put together first. So just trying to stage it all and put it into the right process as we move forward. But it's out there, and I think it would be beneficial to a point. I know there's a lot of concerns with that in the locker room and on the coaching staffs, but we're not going to be at the level where each kid, I think I read this morning, okay, so I guess I do read a little bit of news, but from our comment earlier, but I think there's an average of 100,000, 105,000 or so, give or take, that certain student athletes in Power Fives are making right now on average. And Division Two, we won't see that, but there is some reality. Is there an opportunity where they can generate X amount of dollars so they can go out and pay for pizza during the week? That's always been a big thing over the years. Our kids have never had that extra opportunity to go out and make that extra money because of the demands that it takes to be a student athlete. And it's even in Division II, we're pretty much in that 12-month run right now on that demand at that time. So it's, we got to be able to continue to help our kids and help them better.
All right, we need to roll here. David, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
David Spafford, the athletic director at Emporia State, has been our guest, along with Don Weiss. And one final thing before we go. If you watch the Astros and the Rangers tonight, listen to John Smoltz on the commentary. He does a good job. Now Sean's disagreeing with me.
All right. Sean doesn't like him. Right, Sean doesn't like him. Steve does. So listen to him and
you make your own decision.
We'll take a poll next week.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Morning Quarterback. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Talk of Emporia is next here on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
Since 1939, news, weather, and sports, KVOE.